Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child inside of her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and when she does, you, Joseph, you will give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Whew. Now that is a lot to take in. But that's what the man said. Well, actually, not man. That's what the angel. That's what the angel said. Well, not just any angel. This is Gabriel, God's right-hand angel. He came to me one night in a dream. The question wasn't whether or not the dream was real. I knew it was. The question was, why in the world was an angel of the Lord coming to me? Just some old carpenter from, well, let's face it, the slums of Nazareth. Well, because, my friends, like most men in my day, well, actually, since any day, I just couldn't understand women. The woman in my doubt, my fiancée, Mary. Now, our marriage, it was an arranged marriage, like nearly all the marriages in our small town. I knew Mary growing up as a child. I'd seen her. She came from a good, hardworking family. So when our parents got together and they arranged this match, I was satisfied. I figured she'd make a good carpenter's wife. So as the weeks and the weeks passed, slowly our parents allowed us to spend more and more time together. And as the months passed, I began to realize something that maybe I had fallen onto a real treasure. My heart began to ache. I started looking for her at the market, at the well, in the synagogue. Now, don't tell her this, but I started longing for her. I couldn't wait for the day of our wedding. Now, one day, about a week before the wedding, Mary shows up at the door of my shop, and I remember I was working frantically on this table in my shop. I wanted it done for our first home. And I looked up and I grinned at the familiar silhouette in the doorway. Couldn't quite see her face because the sunlight was coming from behind her. Slowly Mary walks forward. She kept her head low and she was staring at my table. It was a surprise. She came to the table and she placed her hand on the table and she said, "It's nice." Nice? I've been working on this thing for weeks. Nice, huh? But, do you happen to know how to make a cradle? Well, cradle? Why? Well, Mary, I think it's a little early to be talking about a cradle. What is it? I looked into her eyes. I noticed that she was crying. She looked up from the table. I said, "What is it? What? Now, I'm not exactly too sure what happened from that point further. All I know is that my devout little Mary, this girl who had just allowed me to carry her water for her from the well, my virgin bride, was telling me that she was carrying a child. I felt like somebody just kicked me in the stomach. But the pain, it was just so much worse because it was coming from the inside. I asked her who it was. I wanted to know who the man was that wronged me. But she said it was no man. Said, "That's not what you think. Just let me explain." She begged me. I don't know. I suppose it was because I was shocked, confused. But I let her explain herself, and this was her story. "One day," she said, "a while back when I was alone, during my morning prayer, I heard a voice. A voice, Joseph, a voice that echoed throughout the room. It, And I turned to the voice, and it was an angel. It was an angel of our God. And I was afraid, wondering if he was real, but the angel assured me, "Do not be afraid. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be called Great, Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule over Jacob's house forever. No end ever to his kingdom." But Joseph, I asked him, "How can this be? I have never been with a man." He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will hover over you. Therefore, the child, this child to be born, will be called Holy Son of God." Oh. That's when I began to pace. Started to feel the anger, the jealousy. "But Joseph," she said, I'm not the only one. My cousin Elizabeth, the one in Judah, she's pregnant. She's pregnant too. In fact, they had the baby. They had a boy. They named him John. Everyone called her barren, and yet here she is. Here she is, a mother. Joseph, don't you see? Don't you see that nothing is impossible with God? "Nothing's impossible with God," I said. "Nothing's impossible with God. Virgin getting pregnant, maybe. 60-year-old woman getting pregnant. I don't think so." "How long?" I said. I asked her. "How far into the pregnancy are you?" And she said, 3 months. 3 months. About the exact same time you left town. Oh, what I didn't tell you. See, what I didn't tell you is that 9 months into our engagement, Mary just decided to leave town to go visit this cousin Elizabeth in Judah. I insisted I go. She insisted I stay to work on our home. Nobody knew why. She just needed to go. Now I was finding out why she went. You see, that morning she showed up at the door of my shop. That was the first morning I had seen her since she left. So I think you're beginning to understand the whole shocking part. And I think you can understand what I needed to do. I told her to go home, that I would take care of this in the morning. "Joseph, please," she said, "don't do this." And I said, just go home. My God, just go home, will you? And I walked past her. I left my house. And I was lost in my thoughts, and I kept walking. I passed the town gates. And I walked further and further from town. If I told my parents, I knew what they would do. They would tell the rabbis. The rabbis would make their judgment, and everybody knew engaged couples are as good as married. And adultery is a crime. It's a crime punishable by death. You see, if Mary was carrying my child, if it was our mistake, maybe some pointed fingers, raised eyebrows, ridicule, yes, but nothing more. But Mary had broken the law, the civil law. It was the religious law. She was carrying the evidence in her womb. Or I could do it quietly. I could divorce her secretly. And nobody will ever know. I could protect her. I turned around and I could see Nazareth. Way in the distance, and it was getting dark, but I didn't care. And I sat down on the ground, and I just kept thinking this. I had this thought of this divorced single mother raising this child alone. What kind of a future would she have? I couldn't bear the thought. And I dreaded what I needed to do that next morning. And for the first time since I was a boy, I cried myself to sleep. And I began to dream. The dream. It was a voice, only a voice, nothing else. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take her as your wife. The child is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. And I cried out to the voice, how could this be? My wife has never, she's never been with a man ever. Remember, Joseph, just as the prophet wrote, the virgin will conceive a child. They give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us. Next thing I knew, I was awake. I remembered everything. I remembered the voice, the message, the command. It wasn't a question whether or not it was real. I knew it was. The question was, what do I do? What do I do? The struggle the night before was between law and love. The struggle that morning was now between law and faith. When I was a boy, I asked my father one day, I asked him what faith was. That morning, I remembered exactly what he said. He said, faith is not knowing exactly what to do. It's just knowing the one who does. So I did what any guy with half a brain would do. If he was engaged to a beautiful girl, well, I married her. And just like that, our lives together began, and we lived happily ever after. Yeah, right. You see, Mary was 3 months pregnant at this point, and Nazareth is a very small town where everybody knows everyone, usually everything. We never tried to keep the pregnancy a secret. I asked her if she wanted to stay in hiding. She's the one who said no. She said, if this is what God has called us to do, then I will not be ashamed. We were prepared with what everybody would say. We were prepared. We just weren't prepared for what they would do. One by one, they left us. Family, friends. In a matter of months, I went from Joseph, the righteous man, to Joseph, you know. But it was even worse. It was even worse for Mary. She was nothing more now than an adulteress who deserved to die. So for the next 6 months, all we had was each other and God waiting for that next step, knowing full well what that needed to be. Or better yet, where? Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will rise for me the ruler of Israel. Everybody knew that scripture. It was every kid's favorite prophecy because it was the one prophecy revealing where the coming Messiah would be born. The question was, how and why would God get us to Bethlehem, a small town south of Jerusalem, 100 miles away from Nazareth? Well, here's the exciting part about living by faith. And that is watching God work. Enter in Caesar Augustus and the census. Now, it wasn't the first census that was ordered by Caesar, but it was the first with such specific orders. Every man, including every member of his family, needed to return to the land of his ancestors to be counted. the land of my ancestors. I'll give you two guesses where you think that is, but I think you'll just need one. So, 100-mile journey with a 9-month pregnant woman on top of a donkey. That's amazing. It's amazing the lessons that a new husband can learn in just 1 week. Greatest lesson that God taught me that week. No matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what your wife asks, all you have to respond is with two words. Yes, dear. I don't think things have changed much since my day, huh? No. So about a week later, we arrive. We arrive in the city of David. And as soon as we pass the town gates, things get interesting. Because Mary's water broke. We were alone. We were in desperate need of shelter. Our first stop was the inn. I had Mary into my arms, and I remember I was walking towards the inn, and I could see the sign hanging on the door. As we approached the door, I slowly could feel my world caving in as I read those words. No room. No room. My heart began to beat faster than I ever could remember. I looked down to my wife, and she had this pain in her face that I could not take away. And for the first time, this awful thought crept into my mind that we're not going to make it. I closed my eyes, I squeezed them tight, and I said, think, Joseph, think. I kept getting distracted by the noises of Bethlehem, the people shouting in the inns, the animals, the sheep out in the hills. The animals and they're holding. The holding pens. The stables. We passed a stable. By the town gates, we passed a stable. I grabbed Mary and I brought her into my arms and we ran. I ran back to the stable. It's just a cave. All it is a cave inside of a hill, a holding pen. I entered the cave and the animals scattered and I lowered Mary to the ground. I ran out of the cave and I looked for the owners of the stable. To my relief, a woman answered the door and I explained to her the situation. I begged her. I begged her for her help. We ran back to the cave. She stopped. She told me, stay outside. Don't come in. Stay. And I watched as this strange woman disappeared into this stable, leaving me for the first time alone. My only companion was silence. It is amazing the desperate situations that God puts you in to remind you that He's there. But there is nothing worse. There is nothing worse than wondering if God really is. It was 6 months. 6 months of silence. 6 months since I had that dream. 6 months of losing everything. My family, my friends. 6 months of watching this child growing inside the womb of my wife. And now here we are. The moment had arrived. And yet still no God. And in that moment of desperation, I cried out. I cried out to God one very simple prayer. Where are you? Tell me, please. Are you even here? And his answer was short and sweet. And it came in the sound of a baby boy crying. And that's when God answered me. He said, I'm right here. I'm right here, Joseph. I don't have words to describe what I was about to experience in those next moments. That moment of seeing for the first time God in the flesh. Of watching, of seeing the Son of God taking his first breath. Of realizing that I'm standing in the presence of holiness. What do you do? What do you do in a situation like that? How do you respond to that? The only way that I knew how, and it was worship. It was the moment when I was on my knees staring at this boy. That's when the questions, all the questions started to come. How do you raise the Son of God? How do you raise the Son of God? How do you teach life to the one who created life? When this boy was in pain or he was struggling, who was he going to run to, me or to his real father? And the biggest question I had, and I had it for years. When the time came and I knew one day that it would I ever be able to let go of this boy? How would I ever let him go? I never got the answers to those questions. But God did tell me one thing that night. He said, Jesus may be my son, yes. But so are you, Joseph. So are you. And I took that boy into my arms for the first time, and I realized that's all he was just a boy. A boy who needed a dad. And that just happened to be me.